Morning to you all. You know, I know that we're a little bit laid back and don't clap along with songs, but man, doesn't the chorus of that one kind of make you want to clap? I could just feel that in there. Behold, he come. I had a very interesting week. I decided after this last weekend that I'm going to turn 50 every year. This has been fun. Now I know Saturday morning when Mom promised that she was going to make enough food to feed the Navy, that I know that that was the real reason you were there. However, all kidding aside, I'm touched by the love for my brethren, my brothers and sisters, my family, my co-workers. The whole thing was very touching, and I can't express to you how thankful I am in words. Just feel it from my heart. Let's see, that was opening number one. What's the rest of them? I didn't realize that you were going to know why, but obviously I am not Kelly George. Kelly had an unplanned trip this morning. When he found out everything was going on last night, Allison, she said, you know, Kelly speaks tomorrow. And so I did what any good brother-in-law would do. I sent a message to him, and I said, well, I have a sermon, which then I had to pray, because technically that was a lie, but Kelly, he tends to want to give help better than he does want to receive help, which is not a bad thing, but I wanted him to be relaxed and knowing that things could be taken care of today. So then we had a get-together, Mom and Dad's, and we had dinner, and we sang songs, and around about 10:30, I went over to the golf course to think, you know, maybe I'll be able to come up with a subject for today now. So this lesson was born a little over 7 hours ago, so if a moment you'll bear with me as we're going along, this is really the first time I've heard it too. I got to have the joy, though, this morning when I was teaching my high school class, that I gave them the title, which was Eeyore. Mm-hmm, Eeyore. So I borrowed quite a bit of material this morning from a couple of different websites. And I've also thrown some things in that will obviously be Jason, but I don't want to have to pray for forgiveness for another lie by saying that these are all my thoughts. And I also had another thought before I began here, and that is, you know, every time that I'm up here, and probably every time that anyone is up here, if you think that this person up here is talking to you, you're probably right. You know, the thing is that up here, we don't know who you are, but you do. You know, so if you recognize yourself at any point in this, just think about what I'm going over this morning. And if you recognize somebody else, perhaps, around you, perhaps you can encourage them to understand what it's like to be an Eeyore. So do you have Eeyore syndrome? You do remember Eeyore, right? He was that slumbering, lumbering, head-down, depressed-looking donkey. And I can't really do his voice. I thought it was more different. I tried to learn it from last night on YouTube, and it ain't going to happen. But I'll imitate it a little bit. He says, not much of a house, just right for not much of a donkey. Another story, he says, good morning, Pooh Bear, very gloomily, if it's a good morning, which I doubt. Why? What's the matter? Says Pooh. Nothing, Pooh Bear, nothing. We can't all, and some of us don't. That's all there is to it. We can't what? Gaiety, song, and dance. Here we go round the mulberry bush. Close? You know, Eeyore didn't even have a good reason for why he had all of his gloom there. Basically, he said, we can't all be in a good mood. And, you know, when we look at that, that Eeyore character, it's kind of comical. But I think it is funny. Until you actually think about what's really going on there. I mean, because that's really a depressing person to be around. So, you know, I think the old-timer cliche on it was, you know, are you a negative Nancy? Now, after Saturday Night Live, are you a Debbie Downer? We had that character. And to throw them in there, are you a gloomy Gus? A negative person and being a Christian doesn't really work well together. So what's going on in our negative minds? Seriously, another little cliche. Do you ever feel like the only cloud in the sky is raining down upon you? Do you expect the worst in every situation? Now, we do think the worst sometimes. Pessimistic, defined, a tendency to stress the negative or unfavorable or to take the gloomiest possible view. We can even turn the positive into a negative. Eeyore's back. It works. I didn't expect it to. We can't enjoy the good because we're waiting for the good to turn sour. The joy of life can be stolen. If you try hard enough, you can turn anything negative. The pessimist would look at this wonderful voice. My cup runneth over. What a mess. That's a pessimistic attitude to something wonderful. However, we can do just the opposite of that. We can turn a negative into something positive. I never let my hopes get up, so I never get let down. We excuse our negative attitude by pretending it's good to not get our hopes up, saving ourselves from disappointment when something goes wrong. This is not wise. It's negativity disguised as wisdom. It's a defense mechanism. Now, maybe you have been hurt so often in the past that you have put up those shields to cause yourself that you don't want to take that pain again when you fall down or when you're disappointed. Look, I get it. I live it sometimes. But it doesn't matter how you frame it. It's still negativity. And we don't have to live this way, depriving ourselves of all the wonders in life, all the wonderful things that happen. Another thing that we do is we use absolutes. When Pooh, now that's Winnie the Pooh, right? You do remember who I'm talking about this morning. I know a lot of people said that if I was shorter, maybe I would actually look like Winnie the Pooh or Eeyore. No, seriously though, if you don't know what I'm talking about, shame on you and shame on your parents. It was a great little cartoon. Now, Pooh asked Eeyore, have you ever had one of those days where you can't win? And Eeyore would say, what? One day? That describes them all. When bad happens, do we use words like always or never? For example, I never win. This always happens to me. Or how about nothing or everything? Nothing ever goes right for me. Everything in my life is a mess. Using absolutes is not always a negative, but often it is. If you step back and really evaluate what you're saying when you're saying those things, you'll see that obviously that it isn't true. Why do we tend to go to absolute statements when something bad happens? A right frame of mind would conclude that everything isn't a mess. Here's one. We think, what's the use in trying? Christopher Robin, you know who he is, right? All right. Trip to childhood for all of us this morning. Christopher Robin asks Eeyore if he got his tail back on properly. And Eeyore says, it doesn't matter. I'll likely lose it again anyway. I'll try, but it won't do any good. We develop a self-fulfilling prophecy about our lives. If I am to conclude that I'm going to fail, what? Chances are that I will. This, and I hope this isn't a too big of a revelation to my three golfing partners over here, this happened to me in golf. You know, when I was a child playing, I could relax. I just hit the ball. You know, I was fluid. I had nothing, no cares in the world. Everything worked well. But then about high school, I started having this bad problem, which was, even if I was having a great round, I got that Eeyore syndrome. You know what? I'm going to mess up eventually. So I may as well not even enjoy while I'm doing well. And you know what? I usually did when you're thinking you're going to mess up. And sadly, this does still affect me to this day. However, when you have those few rounds, and I don't know how many golfers we have here. I'm assuming you all play. But when you have those few rounds where you're making a few putts or you're hitting a few good shots, it's amazing what that change in your mind will do. It does affect physically what you're doing. It affects your game. But that negative self-fulfilling prophecy takes its toll and it beats us down, doesn't it? It beats you down to the point where sometimes you just feel like giving up. But it's not just sports. It's not just life. Unfortunately, sometimes that can happen with God. with your relationship with God. We talked about this also in class this morning. If you don't get what you want from God, we develop a pessimistic attitude toward prayer. Or we can. I'm not saying that we do. But we can be kind of pessimistic about that. I'll try, but it won't do any good. The pessimist feels that God won't answer his prayer. But remember, God always answers your prayer. Sometimes it's just not the answer that I'm looking for, right? We get discouraged when we try to do right and we keep failing. Oh, doesn't that make you irritated in life when you do something wrong? What's the use in trying? I just give up. I'm just not going to be a good person. Now that pessimistic attitude has affected ourselves. We think we're pitiful and that we're never going to get it right. So how can we be more positive? I hate to be really simple, but okay, I like to be really simple. I say that in my class all the time, right, Carly? Just keep it simple. What's the answer? The answer is choose it. That's it. Just choose it. All hope is not lost. Misery is not our fate. We can change the negative things if we want to. We need to focus on positive things. Philippians 4:8 says this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about those things. Dwell on them. Put them deep in your heart. Make them part of your life. Even in an actual negative situation, we can think of these things. And I illustrated this again, and unfortunately what kind of happened this morning for my high school class is that this part of what I was doing today and that part of what I'm doing, they kind of meshed together. But I know I've told the story before, but that day when I was taking Elena to church when I lived in Illinois a long, long time ago, and it was a Wednesday night, and it was raining out, and I had an accident, and even though the guy in front of me was his fault, I ended up, of course, it was my fault. And I went home, and it was a tough time in my life. And I went home afterward, and I'm holding my head in my hands in a dark room. And I'm like, why would something like this happen to me when I'm going to worship God? How could that happen? But, you know, what dawned on me that night, and I even made it into a little sermon over in Plano, Illinois, where I went to church, is that I don't know what the worst thing that was going to happen to me that night was. Maybe that bad thing that happened to me saved me from something that was a lot worse. That's looking at something negative in a positive way, and I needed that night. Though that may sometimes be true, I'm sorry, here we go. I'm on the wrong page. I'm skipping ahead. You guys don't mind, do you? Okay. I'm not saying that you want to ignore reality. But we can change our perspective. We can gain a little balance. We can have hope. Think of what is lovely or what could become lovely, like I was illustrating in that situation, in a tragic or difficult situation. To keep ourselves from being filled with negativity in a world that is filled with negativity, we need to think about things that are pure and holy. We need to be an optimistic realist. Part of the problem is too often optimistic people are thought of in a negative light. We think their heads are in the clouds, or they don't look at things realistically. They're kind of a little bit loopy because they just don't seem to know what's going on in life. But you know what, though that sometimes might be true, that doesn't mean that you can't be a realistic optimist. Rather, then always expect the worst, our optimistic realist says, hope for the best, but plan for the worst. Hopeful. We're being hopeful about possibilities as opposed to thinking about all the bad that can happen. Part of being this optimistic realist is understanding that bad things, what? They will happen. That's life. But it doesn't have to tear you down. Listen to Paul's perspective here. He presents reality, but follows it with optimistic reality. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 10, he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. And then it continues, verses 16 through 18 in that fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, this is the key verse here for me, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Have you ever met someone who seems to always be on the bright side, look on the sunny side of life? Aren't you kind of drawn to those people a little bit? Even if maybe sometimes you do think they're annoying or think they have their heads in the clouds. Aren't you kind of drawn to them? Wouldn't you want to be seen as being that person? Why wouldn't you want to be around somebody that acts like that? Paul reminds us that there will be difficult, painful, seemingly unbearable times here on earth. Our momentary troubles, though, what? Lead us to an eternal glory. Don't worry about this life. Focus on the unseen, eternal life. We need to understand the power of positive thinking. Ephesians 3:16 through 21 reads like this. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I may pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. This passage uses the word power 3 times. The power of the Spirit enables us to have the power to understand the vastness of Christ's love, along with the power that accomplishes more than we can imagine. We need to be thinking positively so that power can work within us, accomplishing great things for Jesus. Positive thinking is not only good from a spiritual standpoint, though. It can also be beneficial in a practical standpoint to your health. In a study released in 2004, 1,000 people aged 65 to 85 were interviewed to determine the importance of a positive attitude. Now, after 10 years or so of follow-up studies, they found that those self-described optimists had 55% lower risk of death from anything at all and a 23% lower risk of heart-related death. Optimistic people have a tendency to be more physically active. They drink less alcohol. They smoke less. They cope with stress more effectively. I don't know who this author was, but I'd like to quote him because I thought that it was rather insightful. In the central place of every heart, there is a recording chamber. So long as it receives messages of beauty, hope, cheer, and courage, so long are you young. Those things will keep you young. When the wires are all down and your heart is covered with the snows of pessimism and the ice of cynicism, then, and only then, have you grown old. I'm almost to my close here. And it changed a little bit because of something that I saw in a picture. But in closing, let me begin by saying, you know, if we have an Eeyore syndrome, even if it's temporary, or even worse yet, if it's constant, let's get over our Eeyore syndrome. Let's stop looking at the doom and gloom. Let's leave behind that pessimism and cynicism and become spiritually optimistic instead. My current Eeyore spot, I guess, is that for some reason, in this last year or two, I have had the absolute worst fear of death. I'm scared to die. To the point of being unreasonable about it. It'll keep me up in the middle of the night. I don't know why. I don't know why I feel that way. And you know, I saw a cartoon, and in this cartoon, and I feel like it solved my problem, at least for now anyway. In this cartoon, we're looking behind, and if we think that Piglet and Eeyore and all these other people can talk, surely Snoopy can talk too, right? We're sitting behind Charlie Brown, and we're sitting behind Snoopy, who are looking off over this big lake toward a sunset or a mountain or something. And you know, Charlie Brown says, "Someday we will all die, Snoopy." You've seen it? Yeah. What does he say back? Snoopy says, "True, but all the other days we will live." It just kind of made me not fear death anymore. Because you know what? That, to be quite honest, that's something I only have to do once. So I may as well just enjoy all the wonderful things that I have here down in this life and stop worrying about all the bad things that happen. So I invite you this morning, if you know or you have a feeling that there's something here that's bigger than you, did you know that that's actually your God? Did you know that His Son died for you? Have you taken the time to acknowledge that? Because if you haven't, but if you know it, don't take any more time to acknowledge that. Acknowledge it this morning. Whatever we can do for you, please come forward while we stand and sing our invitation song.